The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Wednesday, and it's already been a week of news. The NFL is the gift that keeps on giving. What off season, right? Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Coming soon, our guys play GM and pitch Julio Jones on coming to their team and Atlanta on making the trade. Someone's going to say the 49ers. Is it Marcus Spears? Is it Jeff Saturday? Is it Dan Orlovsky? Well, you just have to find out later on in the show. Let's get right to it, gentlemen, and we begin with Dan Graziano, who's down there. Top stories around the league, Graz, beginning with Roger Goodell's press conference.
Yeah, Laura, the owners had a meeting today. They talked about a number of things. One of the biggest things that came out of it, new protocols for fully vaccinated players and team personnel. If you are fully vaccinated this year, you won't have to wear a mask at the team facility. You won't have to be tested every day. You can use the cafeteria, etc. If you are not, those old restrictions from last year will remain in place. League continuing to try and incentivize vaccinations. Julio Jones' situation is going to have to wait till at least next week. The Falcons can't trade him until after June 1st for salary cap reasons, but this is expected to happen at some point between now and the start of the season. Julio Jones moving on from Atlanta via a trade to some other team as the Falcons need to clear that cap space. And the Aaron Rodgers situation remains at a standstill. He's in Hawaii. He's not in Green Bay at OTAs with his team. Of course, those are voluntary workouts, but we know there's more to it than that with Rodgers, who wants out of Green Bay and has made it clear that he is at odds with the front office over a number of things. Rodgers' situation, the Packers continue to insist that they're not going to trade him. They think they can still work something out, and that situation will continue to drag on through the offseason.
Graz, here's a reminder at how we got here with Rodgers and the Packers. It started in last year's draft when Green Bay elected to trade up and draft Jordan Love, although Aaron Rodgers himself said he doesn't have a problem with Jordan Love earlier this week. Then things only intensified after the Packers lost in the NFC Championship game, with Rodgers saying his future is uncertain, which leads us to the draft this year when Adam Schefter reported that Rodgers no longer wants to return to Green Bay. And as Graz mentioned, all the drama surrounding Rodgers doesn't seem to be affecting him. He's out there in Hawaii with his fiance,
Shailene
Woodley, and actor Miles Teller and Teller's wife, Kaylee. They posted these pictures in Hawaii on vacation. Kaylee posted them, though. I should
make that very
clear. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers posting them, like really trying to troll people. But Dan, what is the ripple effect here to no Rodgers at OTAs? Because I think people think the no Rodgers at OTAs isn't that big of a deal, but there's more to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, football is a team sport, but right now this is a one-on-one battle, and Aaron Rodgers is winning it. And it's Aaron Rodgers pitted against their general manager, Brian Gutekunst. It's not just Aaron Rodgers not there. His top five receivers don't show up. And that is very rare for the NFL, because so often we as players, when it comes to off-the-field issues, everybody hears this, right? I'm going to let that guy handle his business off the field. Mm-hmm. This is different. These players are now choosing sides. And you're not only talking about Green Bay having to at least try to repair the relationship between them and Aaron Rodgers. There's a ripple effect of trying to repair relationship with some other players now. His receivers are gone. We're not even coming to OTAs. If Aaron Rodgers isn't there, we don't care if you've got a young quarterback. We're not showing up. And I know you don't want your players running your football team, but it certainly seems like they are in Green Bay right now. This is a choose your side line has been drawn in the sand battle in Green Bay with these receivers not showing up. And it is either young players. Are you going to choose the quarterback that might not be there? Or are you going to choose the general manager that selected you? And in many ways, hold your future as a player in that organization in his hands. It's one-on-one.
Dan, I love the way you're firing this thing up, because you are speaking truth.
Let's go,
right,
Sat.
Now. Here is the issue. Here is the issue for Green Bay. Gutekunst, go apologize. Full apology. Hey, man, I messed this thing up from the jump, and I know he has said that. Whatever else needs to be said with Aaron, get it said, understanding that you do want players running your organization. You don't think Tom Brady ran Tampa Bay last year?
Yeah.
You don't think that Tom Brady helped run New England? Peyton Manning, Drew Brees? Yes, you do want players running your organization because loyalty lies in the locker room. That's where guys stay loyal. That's where teams are built. That's where relationships are formed and grown and developed so teams can actually be built. You don't want just the general manager coming out and doing things or coaches. You need player-led organizations. He has been there 16 years, y'all. 16 years. Mm. Man, he knows every equipment guy, every trainer, every person who works at the facility. Like, you keep naming, like, relationship after relationship. This guy has been there. It needs to be solved from the organizational side, whether it's Mark Murphy, I don't know if it's him, whoever it is, but get this apology done so there can be some moving forward for this organization. It serves nobody to stay in this rift.
Marcus, when you think about this and how you would look at everybody in this situation, who is actually the biggest loser here?
It's Jordan Love. And listen, man, all of the feelings about apologize, man, the hell with that. You got to coach the football team and the players are there. Y'all handle that business away. Look, OTAs right now for Jordan Love is the most important time of the year. The dude is trying to figure out if he's going to be the starter in Green Bay, if he's going to have to play. He's in a mess right now when it comes to his future and playing football. Not only that, you got receivers that didn't show up to OTAs that may have to work with a new quarterback. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to handle his business. He's going to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. We can keep talking about Gutekunst and Mark Murphy and the Green Bay Packers issuing an apology. Well, damn it, if they ain't figured out the issue apology a year ago, they ain't going to issue one now. That's the point. The second thing is all of the players choosing sides. I'm going to make a PSA to y'all players. Don't listen to Dan Orlovsky and be dumb because your bills ain't going to have Aaron Rodgers' name on it. Your household ain't going to be paid for by Aaron Rodgers' contract.
So what?
So
hold
y'all
up.
Better not be worried about Aaron Rodgers and worry about your own damn contract and showing up for what you need to show up for. Because I say this all the time. Y'all ain't Aaron Rodgers. Don't start taking sides of the quarterback when you need a damn paycheck.
Well, first of all, talking about someone being in their feelings, you need to slow down. Second of all, I said, are you going to choose Aaron Rodgers' side or the general manager? I didn't say you had
you
to take care.
You shouldn't have to ask that question.
But I didn't say
you. What you asking that question for?
Hey, Marcus, obviously some of the players did because they didn't show up to OTAs. So they're obviously listening to their quarterback and not listening to you.
Is that smart?
They're not there, Marcus. They want him there. What do you think
smart?
It's smarter?
I'm not asking you, are they there?
Let me ask you this.
Are they smart for doing it?
Let me ask you this. Is it smart to just sit there and do whatever the general manager does? Is it smart to not stand
it's
up for your quarterback?
It's smart to take your butt to work if you need the money.
It's smart to have your boys
That's
back
here.
Dan, really fast. Do you think the Packers are really going to get rid of Brian Gutekunst?
What happens if that's their only option to save Aaron Rodgers?
Jeff, is that the only option here?
Because I don't think an apology fixes what he destroyed. Because he destroyed Aaron Rodgers' confidence and Aaron Rodgers' trust in the organization. And that's my problem with it, Jeff.
Jeff, final word.
This is what I would say. This is a great opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to be the man that he wants everybody to think or believes him to be. Accept the apology. Move on for the betterment of the Green Bay Packers. The best opportunity for both these, for Brian and for Aaron to be successful is together because they have built a good team.
I would agree with that.
They've been in the NFC Championship game the last 2 years. They're right on the cusp. If Bakhtiari, their starting left tackle, plays against Tampa, they may be in the Super Bowl. This team is really close. It doesn't benefit anybody to blow it all up. Quick reflection. Ask Jerry Jones about Jimmy Johnson back in the day. Had you kept everything together, do you swallow your pride from both sides, whichever guy, accept apologies, give apologies, whatever it is, and let the entire team learn and grow from this experience.
All right, Marcus was trying to get back in, but we have got to go. So I'm sorry, Swaggoo. We're going to have to find out what you had to say after the break. We got a lot coming your way at NFL Live today. Julio Jones looking to be out of Atlanta. But which team would actually best suit the star veteran? Our crew diving into potential lineups. They're going to be GMs for three different teams. You're going to like this. Plus, with OTAs underway, Carson Wentz and Sam Darnold, just a few of the quarterbacks with new homes. Well, their new surroundings cast enough for them to be able to take that next step. Stick around to find out. You guys are on fire already today. Dancing. That's always scary.
They better go to work. Worrying about it. Worrying about Aaron Rodgers. They better go to work.
That was me on you, Marcus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on NFL Live. Julio Jones said earlier this week he wants out of Atlanta, and players around the league are capitalizing, making pitches for Julio to join their team. A.J. Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Trent Brown, Darius Slay, just some of the players that have taken to social media in recent days with the hopes of recruiting Jones. I wonder if he's actually looking at those tweets. He's like, okay, yeah, you had the best tweet, so I'm going to go to your team. Either way, they're hoping they can all get him, right? And you saw those pitches, but let's talk about actual fits for Julio Jones. So, Jeff, you start us off. Where do you think is the best fit for Julio?
San Francisco, baby. Let's go. Whoop, all we talked about is quarterback all offseason. You know, who we going to trade up for? Which guy we giving over? Send him back a little reunion with Kyle Shanahan from his Atlanta Falcons days and bring he and Julio together. Think about this team, and you're seeing it on your screen right now, right? Ayuk, Kittle, Samuel. Listen, these dudes are built and built to score a bunch of points. Got a very good offensive line. And here's the thing. Julio, we know, stays banged up. He already knows what Kyle wants in his offense and where to be. He's one of the best receivers. Well, off script plays where he can go make a play and just be athletic, not necessarily pinpoint accurate on the route running because of lack of practice. When I look at it, I like that fit out in San Fran.
Dan?
I don't hate the fit, but I still like New England and Tennessee. I think that it's important to point out that when you're trading for Julio Jones, Jeff, you kind of hit to this point. You're not getting a guy that's practicing on Wednesdays and Thursdays or even Fridays that much. Okay, so he better know your system. Right. And look at Tennessee's system that they're going to run is very similar to what he ran with Kyle Shanahan. You're talking about two dudes on the outside. Now, dudes, A.J. Brown and then Julio Jones. And then you're talking about a run game that is as good as anybody in the NFL. Where Derrick Henry, you're going to get so many one-on-one matchups. Ryan Tannehill is a top 10 quarterback production-wise in the NFL. So I do like him in Tennessee because he's going to know the offensive fit. Jeff, you know this a little bit. I played with two kind of aging receivers, right? One was Reggie Wayne. Reggie didn't really have an injury history. Reggie was practicing on Wednesdays, and he was practicing on Thursdays. When I was starting with Reggie, we were after practice 45 minutes getting reps. He wanted to know exactly where the ball was going to be. And then I played with Calvin Johnson when he was an older. Nope, no reps. Calvin barely practiced on Fridays. And that's what you're getting with Julio Jones. Right. Now, Calvin and Matthew had the reps. And that's why the scheme fit is so important where he goes. Because when I go, hey, Julio, I need you to be on the inside edge of the numbers and you got a 20-yard burner post, he better know that route because I'm not throwing it to him in the week, right? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why schematic fit is such a big part of this trade for Julio Jones and where he goes.
Yeah, I like all that, but the Baltimore Ravens is the perfect spot for Julio Jones. First of all, they're going to face 8-9 man boxes. And are you going to leave Julio one-on-one? I don't give a damn how old he is as far as a wide receiver or how many days he practices. You don't think Mark Andrews would love to have another guy to take some attention away? Look, all you have to do is go back and look at the interception Lamar threw against the Buffalo Bills. It was 9 people around Mark Andrews, and even the crowd knew that he was throwing the ball to the tight end. We talked about evolving this passing game in Baltimore as well. He would go a long way in that regard. Like, both of y'all fits are great. Like, the argument form is wonderful. But Jeff mentioned off script, is there a better quarterback off script than Lamar Jackson? Ooh. We mentioned having the ability to catch one-on-ones. Is it a better team to play for as a wide receiver and get matched up one-on-one against that Baltimore Ravens run game? Julio, don't make this difficult, man.
Hey.
The people done already hollered at you. Baltimore the spot for you, big dog.
I'm making the final call here. You guys didn't know this. I'm going with the Ravens. Like, mainly for Lamar Jackson. I want Lamar Jackson to have Julio Jones. And also, they're about to have to pay Lamar, so why not give him that receiver to make him that much better? We got to go, Dan, but I'm sorry. Plenty of teams – I'm not that sorry. Plenty of teams would like to have Julio Jones on their roster.
You got
to
go now.
But the question is, can they take on that $15 million salary in 2021? Here's a look at the top 12 teams with the most cap space remaining for the 2021 season, starting with the Jaguars. Some notables in that top 12 – that could actually get Julio, the Browns, Colts, Washington, 49ers, and the Patriots. I mean, the money is really important here. Dan Graziano, what more could you tell us on this potential trade situation, especially keeping that in mind about cap space?
Well, that's critical, Laura, right? Because Julio Jones' cap hit for the Falcons, if they keep him, is about $23 million. But if you trade for him, the cap hit is only $15.3 million. That's his fully guaranteed salary for this year. And then you have 11 and a half each of the next 2 years. Only $2 million of that is guaranteed. So you're getting a pretty good deal. You don't see Baltimore, Tennessee, teams like that on that list. They would have to do some work to clear cap space. The Chiefs, other teams that have been thrown around, would have to clear cap space. But you'll see teams that are interested. The question is, what can the Falcons get, right? This is a 32-year-old player. Dan mentions he doesn't practice. He's got some nagging injuries. Missed about half the season last year. I think a second-round pick would be a pretty good get for the Atlanta Falcons at this point, given all that goes into this situation.
Yeah, that's what's been kind of the secondary really interesting point in this, Graz, is what will the Falcons actually get with as slow as this has played out? All right, so the reason why I made Orlovsky be quiet there was because we got so much more coming on the show. We got to save time for that, okay? This is what's coming up next.
Hard running.
Definitely don't want to miss, Dan. The Rams adding Matthew Stafford to elevate their offense, but with key departures on their defense, will they be able to win it all at their own stadium? Find out what our guys think next. And, Dan, we're going to give you a lot of time on this one.
Let's go, Nina.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So here's the thing. On paper, this Rams offense looks great, but the NFC West is a really tough division. So, Marcus, based on the schedule that we've got here, when do you see this Rams team hitting their stride?
First of all, let me just say this. I'm legit so excited we're going to be covering the Super Bowl in L.A. next year. Come on with it. All right, let me get the second thing.
Yeah.
Let me get this out.
In May.
I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen early. Right. I'm trying to erase my brain from the fact that a lot of these guys didn't have an offseason. They weren't able to work out some of those communication things. Obviously, playing a game against defenses and resistance is different. But the fact that they'll have that communication element already going into week one, I expect Sean McVay to want to put up fireworks. I expect Matthew Stafford to want to show LA that he is the guy that is going to take them to the next level and win them a Super Bowl. And I know, you know, Jeff and Dan about to be boring because they offensive guys and it takes time for continuity and all of that. I ain't here for that. I'm here for that to start week one with a full offseason. I'm gonna let my brothers tell me why it takes a while for it to get going. But I really do expect this offense to look explosive week one.
Dan, don't be boring.
Yeah, the only thing boring is you with that top button unbuttoned up top. So don't try that. First of all, you lost your defensive coordinator. You lost your secondary coach. You lost one of the best safeties in football to Cleveland. You lost your nickelback, okay? And a defensive tackle, Michael Brockers. That being said, if this is a top 10 defense, this is the best team in the division, and they win the division. I want to have fun with the schedule because I like predicting things and being right. Bears, you're taking an L on the head, 1-0. okay, they're going to go to Indy. I love Carson Wentz, but I think they win that game. So you start 2-1. Lost to the Buccaneers. Okay, they play Arizona at home. That's a win. They play at Seattle. I don't care, Mina Kimes. That's a win. They play at the Giants. That's a win. Revenge game. He probably throws for 500 yards.
That's
Sean McVay.
Be a big one.
That's 500-yarder. At the Texans, that's an easy win. Versus the Titans, an easy win. Dang, we are 8-1 right now. I'm going to give them a loss on the road to San Francisco by I have them beating the Packers strictly because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Now, they beat Jacksonville. Now, this will be a little bit of a surprising loss. They're going to lose because it's on the road to Arizona. Kyler Murray's in a groove. I'm going to say they lose at home to the Seattle Seahawks strictly because I don't want Mina to tweet me. This is a win on the road versus Minnesota. They're going to lose at the Ravens and then beat San Francisco. I think 12-5 wins them the division. If the defense remains a top 10 unit. Listen, Matthew Stafford's had a top 10 defense once in his career. He went 11-5 in 2014. He ain't never had this run game. He's never had a top 10 run game. Saturday, you know this. A top 10 run game with a top 10 defense with an absolute cyborg at quarterback and a brainiac at play caller, this is going to be a very good football team. I actually want to do this. I actually want to do
now you're changing it? No.
I actually want to do that. I want to sweep the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. Now, Mina is going to tweet you. Go ahead, Jeff.
13-4.
Yeah.
Listen, I fully agree. I fully agree this is going to be a great football team. They're going to be a playoff team. They may even win their division. Going 8-1 out the gate, I just don't see it. We just watched Tampa Bay show you Tom Brady comes down and how long it takes to find your full rhythm, right? A full rhythm of a football team. What does that look like? And here's where I differ with you guys, or differ with you, Dan. I think their defense actually carries them early on in the season. You and I both know it takes about 3 practices offensively to equate to 1 defensive practice.
Yes.
Right? So defense always is always ahead of the curve.
Sure.
It takes some more practices for these guys to find the rhythm, to understand where to be. And as good as Stafford is, I think as you look at them progress through the season, that's where the dangerous parts come. I think this team gets better as the season goes on. And those L's you got at the end of the year are W's and just reverse them.
Wow.
You like the 13-4, though. You like to
but so he's saying so, they're getting better.
All right, so then maybe you take that and you put that at loss to Indy, and maybe this is a loss to San Francisco or to Seattle. But then I'm taking that as a win, and then I'm taking a win against the Cardinals. Yep. Okay, we're still at 13-4.
Dan, you've now done so many schedules.
Now you cook them with oil.
Yeah.
But he's now done so many schedules that he can say he was right for one of these. Like one of these records might actually be
that's
right.
I need.
Did you say Grooge at one point? I think that's a good
one. I told y'all I was going to get bored.
Grooge.
That's a new word.
You got to get into your Grooge.
Let's chat some quarterbacks that we hope get in their Grooge. They're going to be a little bit under pressure in the NFL. Who's under the most pressure in your mind, Dave?
My guy, Tua Tagovailoa. First of all, you got 2 first-round picks in Miami next year. So they have the ammo if they want to go get somebody else. We know they added Hunter Long at tight end to go with Mike Gesicki. You've added Will Fuller for a speed demon on the outside. Drafted Jalen Waddle. And now you've got 3 offensive linemen from last year that are second year in the NFL. There's pressure on Tua to perform.
I'm going Daniel Jones. Listen, New York Giants, this guy's been given everything. They've improved on the roster. Here's his issue. For a Duke guy, he doesn't figure this out. Turnovers kill offense. You can't have 21 games. My goodness, man. Like, for a Dookie, you got to figure this out faster, man. Take care of the football, produces wins.
That's Daniel Jones right there. I'm going Carson Wentz. And we all know he has the most pressure on him than any quarterback in the NFL. Frank Reich first has bet a large portion of his career on the fact that he can rehabilitate Carson Wentz. And not only that, this is already a playoff team. You need to add to that and not take away.
Yeah, what am I doing? Sorry, I got so excited about our pressure there. All right. By the way, Jeff Saturday just got so many shots in against
Duke. Yeah, he took a Tar Heel shot.
That was amazing.
Tar Heel shot.
Hey, we're talking about the Colts there. Speaking of the Colts, former NFL kicker Adam Vinatieri was on the Pat McAfee show this afternoon. He made a special announcement.
Should we just make it real? Should we just say, hey, we're done. We're riding off into the sunset. I mean, do you want it to be live on your show that Vinny's officially done? Is that what you want?
I don't want that. But if it's going to happen, happy it's happening.
Yeah.
I would like that to be known. So don't feel obligated. Don't feel forced.
Put it this way. Hey, let me see. Today is what? Wednesday. By Friday, if paperwork goes in, You heard it here first.
So, since we now know that Vinatieri will be retired, here's a look back at some of his greatest kicks. We start in the snow, the 2001 AFC Divisional Round, connect on the 45-yard field goal. I'm going to hand it over to Jeff Saturday here because you know this guy so well as his former teammate.
Yeah, ice in his veins right there, Laura. You look at the kick. There was no fear, no hesitation. Boots it right through. Listen, Super Bowl, no worries. I'm going to put it through. Everybody talks about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. How about my man Vinny getting them through, just busting this thing through? Again, young kid, Dakota. I mean, all that, Hunter, all that it implies, right? Toughest dude in the building, and he's a kicker. You got to absolutely love this kid, and I love that he did on the McAfee show. I don't know why we have everything in the Patriots uniform. Put that man in a Colts uniform. That's where he's been. I get the Super Bowls. I get all that. Make that man a Colt so I can talk some real love. It's hard for me to do it when I'm seeing Patriots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't pick those plays. That was Super Bowl 36 and 38.
You should have had him kicking a game winner for the 2-14 2011 Colts, Jeff.
Dan, been I'm there. Not sure if that was necessary, but there you go. All right, we got more coming your way on NFL Live today in a division filled with stud QBs. The 49ers need theirs to step up big time. Find out who here thinks they can be the best team in their division and how. We'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Our Wednesday night baseball game is a rivalry matchup between the Dodgers and Astros. Second game of a quick two-game series at Minute Maid. Our coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific for our West Coast fans. Trevor Bauer, he's got that 1.98 ERA. Starts for the Dodgers against Luis Garcia. Dan, I blame you for that.
Well, it's because
you were drumming.
If you hear a bang bang in the background.
Why are we drumming in here? Okay, time to read and react. A few quarterbacks with new teams and high expectations. We begin with Carson Wentz. He seems to really be bonding well with his team. You see him there shooting hoops. He actually got in a really big time back and forth there with Mo Alie-Cox. Mo Alie-Cox ended up winning that. But either way, the pressure's real. He's been on the field too. And here's Wentz earlier today talking about it.
Humble pie doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. He's coming in with the right attitude of wanting to do his part. I believe he's going to do that. I believe he's going to have an incredible year.
There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be expectations. Those things are always going to be there. And for me, it's just, it's been the same thing my whole career. It's just go to work. Just go to work, get better every day. Obviously, we have high expectations and all of those things, but just the culture and how, it's just a one day at a time mindset. That's the mindset of this team, and that's the mindset that I'm going to take.
Jeff, what do you think the expectations are for Wentz?
Oh, the sky's the limit. Listen, Laura, he's in a perfect place. He's with a great fan base that's patient. He's with Frank Reich, who's a great play caller. He's got Chris Bauer, the general manager, who's on his side. He's got a locker room full of guys who are going to support him. This is a great opportunity for him to resurrect his career and get it back on track like he had it early on with the Eagles.
Well, how about Sam Darnold when he's not working on his drawings of Panthers logos and such? He's at OTAs getting ready for his huge opportunity in Carolina. Christian McCaffrey is healthy. Optimism is high. You get to see him with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. And here's the head coach, Matt Rhule, on Darnold.
He comes from a different system where they were kind of static. And we're more of a, move up in the pocket, slide up in the pocket, throw on rhythm type of a team. So, we really don't want them holding the ball and, letting it rip. We want them to, play in progression, play in timing. And so that's new to him. But you can see a marked difference from the first day of phase two to now, from my perspective.
Dan, how does that specific change help Darnold?
Well, I think we're just going to see Sam Darnold's talent shine and play point guard for this offense. Just look at the three specific areas that Carolina majored in relation to what the Jets did. Much more play-action pass. You're talking almost 80% more than he was a part of last year. Then you're talking about so much more of pre-snap motion, which is going to allow for matchups and him to see the defense better. And then a lot more empty where he could just play again point guard. We're going to finally see Sam Darnold in the NFL offense, and I expect him to have an awesome year.
Hey, what's number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence up to these days? Well, glad you asked. He's at OTAs and well aware of the challenges he faces with the Jaguars. Cool to see him out there in an NFL uniform. Here's what Lawrence had to say about everything going on there in Jacksonville for him right now.
They didn't bring me in to expect to lose. So even though we haven't had that much success in the past, this is a new year. This is a new team. And really a new mindset, I think, with the coaching staff and what they're bringing in. What I love is, you know, the expectations are very clear. There's no misconstruing anything. We know what's expected of us. But he takes care of us, too. You know, he knows how to coach a football team. He knows how to win.
Okay, so Trevor Lawrence is talking about the expectations. But what's realistic here, Marcus, for this rookie?
Look, man, Trevor Lawrence obviously is going to take his lumps, but he's speaking like you're supposed to speak. He's speaking like a leader. And, man, if you can make a quarterback in the lab, it'll be Trevor Lawrence. First of all, this dude is going to reinvigorate the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's going to take a little time for this team to build and get the right pieces everywhere to be real legit contenders, but they started in the right place with the opportunity to take Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer, still TBD for me.
Yeah, you caught it there. Trevor was giving props to Urban. More OTAs action. The 49ers underway with both Jimmy G and Trey Lance. Of course, in attendance, Jimmy G coming off another injury-riddled season, but looking healthy for now. And here's what we all want to know. How soon do we see Trey Lance? Well, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G spoke on Tuesday.
I'm not doing enough to really get too into the football or make any judgments off guys. We're just throwing a lot at Trey that he's hearing for the first time. Being with him these last 2 weeks, he's been everything that we hoped and more. I think he's a very smart kid. He's a very humble kid. I think he's a very natural leader. I think the guys have gravitated to him, and it's been fun to throw a lot at him.
When it initially happened, there's a million emotions that go on throughout your head. But at the end of the day, I want to play football. I want to go out there and win games. That's what I do. And so, you know, it wasn't anything too crazy. It took a little while to get, you know, process everything. NFL is a crazy business. Things happen, but you just got to attack it day by day and, you know, make the best of it.
Yeah, everybody talks about how great of a teammate Jimmy G is. Marcus, this is a packed quarterback room, right? What happens if Lance goes off in camp and just grasps this offense so early and is ready to go?
He's going to start week one. I think he's going to start already. But I was just listening to Jimmy G, and it's almost like it's weird. It's uncomfortable to listen to him talk about this quarterback situation. And then coming right off of Kyle Shanahan talking about how great he's looking at Trey Lance and how he's digesting everything they're throwing at him. Jimmy G, cool, though. He'd have made $100 million. He's been to the Super Bowl. Jimmy G, straight. But the bottom line is this. Trey Lance has the element we talked about in the pre-draft talks and shows that we had. He has that athletic ability, which I think Kyle Shanahan is salivating to be able to implement that into his offense, as well as we already know his mindset when it comes to play calling. Not only that, Kittle hurt majority of the season. Debo Samuel was hurt majority of the season. Brandon Ayuk being a young wide receiver. I think he's absolutely excited to get Trey Lance as the starter in this offense and let this thing take off.
Listen, as excited I am for Trey Lance, I think patience will pay in this situation. It might be middle of the season. I think you have your best chance of winning with Jimmy G right off the bat. Listen, 2 years ago when he's healthy, they go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying you give it all to Jimmy G, but I'm saying the team, the 49ers are a very good football team who could truly contend. Why push a guy? You have a shortened preseason this year, fewer games and a longer season. Give yourself some time to bring Lance in as opposed to trying to throw everything at him at one time and allow mistakes to happen. Will he get it? Absolutely. Just give it a little more time.
In 2018, the Baltimore Ravens were 4-5 with Joe Flacco as their quarterback. Halfway through the season, they made the decision to play Lamar Jackson. He goes 6-1. This is Trey Lance's job to lose, and I don't think he's got any quality that is going to make him lose that job or competition to be the starting quarterback. Highly intelligent quarterback run game. We know the athletic quarterback run game allows younger quarterbacks to get on the field sooner because it helps not only them play well, but it helps their offense play well. I would tell the San Francisco 49ers, don't make the mistake the Baltimore Ravens did and wait too long. This is your guy. It is his football team. You know how he can go play and play very well. Trey Lance is your starting quarterback, and his intellect will be the reason why he is their starter.
Yeah, when you think about the schedule, Dan, if you're talking about starting right off the bat, the 49ers start with the Lions. Of course, they've got a quarterback, right, and they've got a quarterback that they're familiar with, right, Jared Goff. You got the Eagles, you got the Packers, and there's a lot of uncertainty there. So I buy that. Like, based on the schedule, I mean, midseason, if you're doing what Jeff's talking about, he'd have more time, right? But you're talking about Colts, you're talking Cardinals, you're talking Rams. I mean,
you need him to have 250 reps
before
of game action?
Gets there.
Before,
right.
He gets there.
Yeah, especially considering the lack of reps that he had in college. All right, enough of that.
Gross, and listen,
go ahead. Okay. Really fast, Marcus. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying that, like, this offense can win in spite of. We saw that in the NFC Championship on their way to a Super Bowl. So Trey Lance is in a cushy position. If he elevates this team offensively, we talking about San Fran back in the Super Bowl.
Well, and you're hoping they're healthy. So, Groz, let's update that. What is going on with this team from an injury standpoint after so many were out with injuries last year?
Yeah, Laura, it's hard to believe it could be any worse than it was for the Niners last year in terms of injuries, but significant guys that have been missing. We saw Garoppolo there. It sounds like he's healthy. Whether that means he's healthy to start the season or to be traded remains to be seen. Nick Bosa, the star pass rusher, tore his ACL last September. He is on track to be ready for week one. They expect him to be able to participate in training camp. And then you see these other guys, the receiver, Deebo Samuel. They love him. He's such a great playmaker for them, but he's had trouble staying healthy. That's one of the reasons I think we keep them in mind as a potential destination for someone like a Julio Jones. They may be looking to upgrade just in terms of, you know, reliability and health at a position like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because Julio's also had his own injury issues. But either way, I like that fit a lot. Man, that NFC West is tough. All right, the Steelers won the AFC North last season, but is the throne to the division crown now up for grabs? The former league MVP in Baltimore may be ready to take that seat. Hey, maybe they get Julio Jones or even better. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Let's get into some of the big storylines in the AFC North. We start with the Steelers looking to have a more balanced offense in 2021. Last season, Big Ben led the league in pass attempts per game. And we're going to have Najee Harris see what he can bring to the table. In Cincinnati, it's all about the protection and health of Joe Burrow. He says he's full go this week and in time for training camp. And for the Browns and Kevin Stefanski, it's about building off their success in 2020. Cleveland has revamped their defense both in free agency and through the draft. In Baltimore, the Ravens hoping they finally have some answers at wide receiver, drafting Rashad Bateman, signing Sammy Watkins last season. Baltimore's receivers ranked last in both receptions and receiving yards last season. Here's Lamar Jackson just a bit ago talking about that contract that's looming.
I spoke with Mr. EDC, probably like a month or two ago, but, you know, I would love to be here forever. You know, I love Baltimore. I love the whole organization. I love everybody in the building. But hopefully we'll be making something happen pretty soon or whenever. Being honest, Mr. Jerry, you know, I'm really focused on the season. You know, I'm focusing on trying to win. I'm not really worried about if it get done this year or next year.
I'm pretty sure, you know, Lamar wants to stay here. The Ravens want him here. But we won a Super Bowl. So, you know, we win a Super Bowl, everybody gets to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, geez, if you look at what happened with the Bucs, they kept everybody, too. That's what happens when you win Super Bowl. All right, Marcus, what will it take, though, for the Ravens to win a Super Bowl?
First, get Julio Jones on the phone and in your building and don't let him leave. That's number one. Number two is – Like, we've screamed at the top of our lungs about the evolution of this passing game. And what that means just from a defensive point of view is don't be predictable. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the Ravens outside of their run game, you knew where the ball was going. I played defensive line, and I could tell you concepts that the Baltimore Ravens were going to run to either try to free up Mark Andrews or find a guy in the slot or run stick routes right at the end zone. Like, this is a very elementary passing scheme. And obviously, it's not all on Greg Roman. Lamar has some fault in that, but also the talent and the skill guys that they have some fault in that as well. I don't think in this day and age, as much as we love Kittle and as much as we love Travis Kelce and guys at the tight end spot, you can't run an offense through a tight end. He can't be the catalyst for you determining if you're going to be an elite passing team. So I think that's what they need to do. From a defensive perspective, you got to become unpredictable in your passing game, and you got to space and have guys that can absolutely win one-on-ones when all else fails.
Yeah, it's a good point. I put it this way. You take your two playbooks and make them one. You know, Baltimore, you have a run game playbook and then a pass game playbook, and it's too obvious. It's like, hey, we're going to throw the ball now, and it's like, this play we're going to run. It's too obvious, right? So that's what Marcus is talking about. Make your two playbooks into one. I'd say the second thing is you got to define roles for some guys, right? Like Hollywood Brown, what are you great at? You know, we know you have a run game with J.K. Dobbins, Lamar, and your run game is great, but Hollywood Brown, what are the five or six things that you're great at? Let's major you in that. And then Mark Andrews, what are the six or seven or eight things that you're great at? Major in that. And then Rashad Bateman, let's major in that, right? Define those roles specifically in the pass game. And the last thing would be this, again, kind of touches on Marcus. When I show you A, I got to give you B. And when I show you A, then I got to give you C. And when I show you A, then I got to give you D. I got to have everything look the same, but I have a bunch of different options off it. That's the evolution of the pass game.
Yeah, complementary football, right? But offensive complementary football. We always talk about offense and defensively, run the ball to help your defense, blah, blah, blah. Exactly what Dan just explained. That's a perfect explanation of how to evolve that passing game.
All right, let's get to one more thing before we go, guys. Tom Brady on Twitter is just unbelievable. He took to Twitter to let us all know that the match is on again. This time it's the old guys going against the young bucks. Don't call Tom Brady old, though. Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson taking on Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. We see DeChambeau talking a little smack, too. I mean, that's no surprise. Dan, who you got, by the way, in this match?
Oh, I'm taking Mickelson and Tom.
Right.
No questions asked. I love Aaron DeChambeau. I'm taking Mickelson and Tom because of the way their games are right now.
Marcus, what do you think, the old guys or the young guys?
It'll be the old guys, but I'm not going to do this show without telling everybody that Guy Fieri got a 3-year, $80 million contract from Food Network. So this may be my last couple of years at ESPN.
Wait, what?
Guy Fieri got paid by Food Network. You can't cook. You can't cook.
Are you going to do diners, drive-ins, and dives?
I've seen your green egg. You can't cook.
Man, he can cook with the best of them. Fry it up. Hey, what's your favorite meal to make, Marcus? What's your best thing?
Oh, when I put it on the grill? Like I'm a steak guy. Like I became highfalutin when I got in the NFL. I was able to afford.
I was going to say,
with his steak.
Looking like a hockey puck.
All right, Food Network. Well, listen, don't forget about us, okay? We'll see y'all tomorrow on NFL Live.